speaker is going to be a pastor who is also the co-chair of the Ferguson Commission named Starsky Wilson. You can just Google his name, but he's been a significant leader in the last year and a half in helping our region sort through what it looks like to work for what is good and just for everybody in this region. So I encourage you to come out. Also, just want to say thanks to Kyle. Is Kyle still here? Where's Kyle? Did he, Kyle's been playing piano for us the last couple of weeks, probably going to be here next week. So thank you, brother. Kyle's, from Indianapolis. Yeah. He is a student at Covenant Seminary. He normally worships, I believe it's House City Church. But really grateful for you being here. Jules is hoping to get here this next week. But just an update, his wife doesn't have her passport yet. And so they're waiting on that. But thanks for being here. All right, I want to ask Jet Tardy to pray for us. Yeah, come on up, Jet, as we look at God's Word. And this morning, as we think about God's faithfulness to us in the past year and look ahead at what God has got for us in the coming years. So lead us in prayer.
I have a companion this morning.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your sanctuary this morning. Open our eyes, open our ears, our hearts, to receive the words your Son has to deliver to us this morning through you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity you give him to lead us. Continue to bless him and his family, the church members as well. Thank you. May you use him as he interprets your words to us, that we will hear the words, and not only to hear, but to be the doer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jet. Well, if you're visiting, we are so glad that you're here. I want to welcome you to our church. If you're looking for a church home, we would love to invite you in and welcome you to join us as we follow Jesus Christ together. We're going to do something today that we've done almost every year, I believe. We start off the year, first of all, with a Testimony Sunday. I want to just thank you all for encouraging me last week. That was good, wasn't it? To hear from one another of God's grace, God's goodness in the midst of our own year, our struggles, our trials. And what I want to do this week, as we often do in January, is reflect together on God's goodness and faithfulness to us as a church, as a congregation, and anticipate what God has for us in the coming year. We call this looking back and looking ahead. And one of the reasons I like to do this is because it is so easy in the busyness of life and the anxiety of life to quickly forget what God has done. And if you look at the Old Testament, God's constantly calling his people to remember. We're not very good at remembering. And so I want us to be conscious about that this morning. And remember the good things that God has done. Give thanks to God and celebrate it. But also because I want us to anticipate some of the things that God might be doing in the next year ahead. I think this analogy came from John Piper, but he invites all of us to say that we are standing in the midst of this stream. And it is the river of the grace and the mercy of God. And we have behind us the grace that is in our past. You all can think about it. God's faithfulness and his goodness. But ahead of us, there's more that's coming yet. And we can anticipate it with hope, with excitement, because we know that that's the character of God. We're in this river of grace. And so we want to think about the past and the future this morning. As we do that, I want to do it in light of the Word of God and a couple of passages that we'll read here. But these passages especially focus on a couple of things that I want to encourage us to remember. One is this, that the past, the present, and the future, God is on the throne. Amen? You say that? God is on the throne. Can you say that? God is on the throne. God will be on the throne. God reigns and God rules. And I want to also encourage us to remember this morning. We are his people. We are his people. Can you say that with me? We are his people. God is on the throne. We are his people. And these passages this morning highlight that very clearly for us. And I would just encourage you, as you look at the year ahead individually, as you look at that year ahead in the church and the ministry that God has called you to, there's not much that would be more important for you to remember than the fact that God is on the throne and we are His people. So I want to read from Revelation chapter 7. We read it already. It was the call to worship, but I want to just put it in our minds again. And then from 1 Peter chapter 2. You'll see these up here if you'll follow along with me. John says, "After this I looked, and behold, before me was a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, crying with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb.'" He is on the throne. And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." This vision, we talked about this, I think, last year, but this vision encouraged and strengthened the Apostle John in the midst of the suffering, the trial, the persecution that he was facing. He had this vision that Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, was now seated on the throne. And nothing was going to change that forever. God is on the throne. Peter also writes to encourage people in the midst of persecution, in the midst of suffering. They were scattered kind of throughout the entire region of Asia. But he writes to encourage them that they are the people of God. They are the people of God. And here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 12. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." God is on the throne. Those who are gathered around the throne say, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." And we live in this time that's called the now and the not yet. You've heard me talk about this, right? Jesus reigns. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. And yet His kingdom has not fully come. And yet, we see evidence of God's goodness in our community. We see evidence of God's goodness in the church, in the city, in your own lives. And I want us to reflect on that this morning, to look back at the faithfulness of God, to see His salvation, His goodness, His worthiness in our church in our last year. Just to put this, of course, in context, you all know we are one very small, tiny expression of the Church of Jesus Christ. You also know that we're weak. We're filled with, there's not a person in this room who's part of this church that's not a sinner, right? Those are the kind of people that God actually uses by His grace. This year has been a mix of incredible blessing as well as trials for you personally, as well as for the church. People who were here who have moved on, sometimes for great reasons, sometimes because of sadness and just changes and people going in another direction. But God has been faithful to us. And so I want us to reflect on this with some pictures. Before we do that, though, I want to just invite us to reflect on our mission statement as a church and go back to this. I think we've got a slide for this here. But we say New City Fellowship exists to seek the establishment of God's kingdom rule in the lives of people from every ethnic group by discipling the nations in the reconciling gospel of Jesus Christ, through a clear proclamation of salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone, and by doing Spirit-led deeds of justice and mercy. We're called to engage this as God's chosen people. And so hopefully we'll see as we reflect on the last year some ways that God has allowed us to live out this mission, which we believe is His mission and not just ours. We've kind of broken this into some different areas and given us some pictures to reflect on God's goodness. But right at the heart of it, we are part of God's commitment to bring His grace to every language, every nation, every tongue, and every tribe. And that's one of the reasons we believe that at the very heart of our community is a commitment to be part of what God is doing among the nations. Part of what God is doing among the nations of this world. We've got some pictures here of partners that we're walking with. And I wanted to start with this because for us, this is not an afterthought. The idea at New City Fellowship isn't that we get everything perfectly in order. And then when we've got everything worked out here, then we start to engage global missions and what God is doing among the nations. Because if you do that, you'll never do it, right? But we actually have this privilege of being part of what God is doing among the nations. And as we do this, God also grows us and disciples us. And you've seen that, I think, as we've walked with people like Calm and Loon. We've got a picture of them here. And their presence among us, I mean, really, you recognize, I hope, those of you who have been here, that Calm was sent to us as a missionary, right? By God and His sovereign plan. And now Calm and Loon are back in Burma. They're getting ready to establish a school and a training center there. Just to encourage you, in just less than 2 months, Barry Henning and Steve St. Pierre from our other site are going to be going over there to visit. Of course, I've been there. Others have been there at different times. But we're part of what God is doing in a region of northwest Burma or Myanmar, where they speak about 100 different languages, where they have a region and a city there that's kind of a gathering place for a lot of those languages, where they can train and equip church planners and ministers of the gospel to go out into parts of the country that are completely unreached. That's what God allows us to be part of. Of course, Rose and Macklin have also been here, and right now they're in Kentucky this morning at another one of their partner churches. But here's Rose and Macklin at the School of New Beginnings. And in the last year, God has given us the opportunity to continue and to develop our partnership with them. As Bob and I went to see the school there on behalf of you, the church, and we're so encouraged that not only is the school started, they've got a small group, which is really a small church of about 40 or 50 people that are meeting together. They've got a thriving missionary training program, a radio ministry, a marriage and family ministry. They want to start a farm and a retreat center in the coming year. And, you know, it always humbles me that a community our size has the privilege to be part of these things that God is doing. Amen. Of course, we continue our work in northern India. I don't have a picture of that, but Todd Fizer is still very much involved with that. Todd is, just so you know, a lot of the Sundays is over at the U City site, because he's actually started to live over there. They're developing some of their university city property to housing for immigrants and refugees, and he's helping them with that right now. But the ministry in northern India continues as well. God's blessed us in the last year to be part of what He's doing among the nations. The other thing that we've seen is God's provision on so many levels. And you know, as a church, that we live kind of right on the edge. We started the year $7,000 in the red. You all know, if you were here, we spent most of the year in the red financially. I mean, a lot of churches, I think, might have the perspective, and my own heart wants to go there at times, where you say, how can we keep going when we have no money? Right? God actually allowed us to keep going, do everything that He's called us to do, and at the end of the year, we have $14,000 in the bank. Jehovah Jireh, right? My provider. I know you guys at New Life Evangelistic Center, you live this way as well, right? Most of God's people do. But at the end of the year, through year-end gifts and some other things, God has provided for us. Not only that, but we've got pledges of $9,000 in the bank for Roy in the associate pastor position. God has provided for us. God has provided. He's provided for us to make developments on this building for ministry. One of the great things that happened this last year was a renovation of our basement space. And I weren't even really thinking we were going to do it at the beginning of the year. And Adina and Casey and some other people got this idea. And you can see here a picture of, it's hard to even remember what it used to look like, isn't it? With that drop ceiling and the kind of fluorescent lights. And but through a mix of work crews from our church, from other churches, from college students all around the country, from people in the community, we developed it, and it's what you see now. We were just down there for a great all-church breakfast, a beautiful space. I love this picture because it shows what we really hope. It's not just for our church family. This is the Christmas meal for the Burmese community of St. Louis. On Christmas Day, they had a worship service here and had a great meal downstairs. And to see this be a place for our church family, for our community, but also a place for our city and for the nations that have gathered here. And just to celebrate, I want to just give thanks to everybody who worked in this. But like so often, it's not just getting the job done, but it's what God does along the way, right? So we have this partnership with Covenant Presbyterian Church. They were down here. There's a guy from Covenant Pres who worked on this place probably as much as anybody else, maybe other than Casey and Adina. So, but God connects us with his body through things like this. God's provided for us also with leaders in the church. And I want to just give him thanks this morning. I want to give him praise. We've got pictures here of some of our elder candidates who we hope to be talking with you more about this in the next few weeks in our congregational meeting and them taking the step toward ordination. But, of course, we've got Josh Fenwick and Chris Kaliza and Cliff Sodergren here. I think those are Facebook pictures that Adina found out on the web somewhere. So just be careful what you put on Facebook. But God's provision, it's been a great joy to walk with these brothers. And then we've got some others here for the deacon candidates, Rachel and Annetta and Justin, who are here. We've met, just so you know, about twice a month, pretty much the whole year together with the elder and deacon candidates. It's been a great joy. God, one of the signs that God is showing his love to us is through the leaders that he provides within our community. And I want to just give him thanks for that this morning. God, of course, we can't miss this. We said it before, but we got Roy and Emily here, right? So praise God for the Hubbards. You guys, we've said it, but God, you are God's provision, God's grace to us. We want to thank God for bringing you here. It's been a while since we've had a full-time associate pastor on staff. It's been quite a bit longer time since we've had a full-time associate pastor on staff who was not a white guy like me. And just so you know, this is very intentional. We are called to disciple the nations and pursue God's reconciling gospel of the kingdom. And part of that is having leadership in our church that reflects the nations, that reflects the diversity of this area. So I expect God is going to continue to just teach us and lead us through Roy and through Emily for many years. But we want to just give thanks to God for that. God has provided this past year. God has also grown us as a church family in different ways. Just a reminder of some of the ways that God has grown us as a church. We've had new members, just a picture of a few of them here, but Ryan and Zach and Lauren and Megan. We've had membership classes in the fall and in the spring. Different ages of people who have gone through these classes stood up here and actually made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ together. Amen? As different people move on, as we grow as a church in new ministries, be encouraged that God is adding to our community, more people to walk together, to follow Jesus, to reach this city. And so we thank God for that. We thank God for children who were born this past year, right? Y'all keep having babies. Praise God. So that's a beautiful thing. Part of our mandate at the very beginning of God's word, be fruitful and multiply. So we've seen just a few, but lots more babies who have been born into the church here. I think this is the Wilsons and the Duncans here in our church family. And also God's grown us through adoption. The Wilsons also have a picture here of this is outside of the city courthouse. And with dear Amira, who came into not just the Wilson family, but came into your family, came into our family, as a sign of God's love for the fatherless and as a gift to our church. And we look for more of that. We hope for more of that in the year to come. God's grown us by bringing families from other countries, places that are a lot warmer than St. Louis, right, Reuben? And so many of the Congolese who have come in the last year, this is a picture of Pastor Reuben and Esperance and his family. And you remember when you could wear T-shirts in St. Louis? But God has blessed us by bringing families from other countries to join in us and be part of our family here. Also a picture here of David Mong and C.S., who were married right here in this church. She was married to him, I think, about a week after she arrived in this country, right here in this building. And so we praise God. I want to just do this, just as a way to kind of express our thanksgiving to God. But if you are part of the church now, and you weren't part of the church a year ago, could you just stand up a minute? If you're part of the church, maybe a member, not even a member yet, but if you're part of the church now, Reuben, you can stand up. I know you, your family, others. Amen. Look at this. God has grown our family. Let's just give thanks to God. Yeah, Victor in the back. And I know, Victor, some of your family members probably are staying warm this morning, right? So it's cold out there, but we thank God for bringing you to our church. God's also given us opportunities to continue to serve and to love our city. We are not here just for ourselves. We're here as ambassadors and representatives of the kingdom of Jesus here in St. Louis. And just a few different ways that we continue to do this, I want to remind us of the tutoring program that we saw the video of this morning. We've got pictures here. This goes on 3 days every week right here in this building. I won't forget this one thing that Randy Mitticky said one time, I think. We had a meeting in the building for the elders. I believe it was on a Tuesday night. And we were gathered here, and it was just as tutoring was finishing up. And you could look down the hallway, and it's literally full with tutors and with children. And Randy said to me, you know, looking at this, this might be one of the most significant things that happens in this building. I think that's right. All sorts of good stuff happens here. But if you're not here in the evening when this is going on, and not all of you can engage it, you don't see it. But 3 times every week, God is showing his love to the children and to the tutors as they gather together and share their lives together. Also, summer Bible clubs that happened this past summer. God brought together churches and college students from different places. A young woman named Valerie from France who came and was here for the entire summer and served with us and give us an opportunity to share the love of Christ every summer. Another ministry that is going on regularly is this Workday ministry. Is Trevin here? Where's Trevin? So there's Trevin. Trevin heads up the Workday ministry. But this is a picture. I think her name is Mrs. D, right? Mrs. D right here lives in this house, which is over near Cherokee Street. And just to encourage you what this ministry was able to do to help her, Trevin visited her. We actually learned about her through a connection with the Catholic Church. There was another Catholic ministry that we've been part of in the past. And so she got her name through that and called. Trevin went to visit her. And she was struggling in some different ways, discouraged. She couldn't get out of her house very often. And I think, actually, Trevin, you went there, and she was talking about the neighborhood in Cherokee Street and how she was sad because there weren't many restaurants or things like that in the area. Now, if you've been over there recently, you know there's all sorts of restaurants. The area's being kind of redeveloped. But the fact was that she had been housebound for so long that she didn't even know what was going on outside because she was not able to get out and she was in a wheelchair. As soon as Trevin learned of that, he made a phone call to somebody else that works in Workday Ministry. They had just enough grant money from another foundation left over to buy the supplies to build this wheelchair ramp for Mrs. D. Also to call the Health Connections Ministry that we partner with and get them connected with her to help her out with her health situation, and also to build this relationship with her. I don't know if you ever look at our city and you get discouraged at times with the crime, the poverty, the brokenness, the loneliness, the abuse, the fatherlessness. It's really easy to get overwhelmed and discouraged, right? I want to just encourage you that in small ways, every week, God is using us in partnership with other ministries and other churches to bring His grace, to bring hope, to bring healing, to bring life to this city. And one of the solutions, now, you can't fix everything, all right, in this city. And we can't, as a church, fix everything as a city. And God knows that, and He doesn't call us to do that. But if you are discouraged at times, let me encourage you. One simple way to help with that is to just get engaged in something like the tutoring ministry or the workday ministry in a small area and see how God brings His love to one family at a time. That's what God's been doing. God's also given us opportunities this past year to grow in our relationship with Him, to grow as followers of Jesus in what we know and how we live. We do that, of course, through studying His Word together. We have in this past year done, I think we've got a slide, maybe not for the, what's this? Yeah, growing in grace. So one of the main ways that God wants to grow you, of course, is by giving you His Word and His Spirit and prayer. So if you think back in the last year, we've studied together Philippians. We've done a series on Sunday mornings on being in this world but not of this world, knowing how to walk as followers of Jesus in a world that's usually going the other direction. We spent time in the fall reflecting on the covenant love of God, the faithfulness of God, the hesed love of God, as we study the life in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. We've had classes here that have gone through team ministry and a class on how to study the Bible and a book called The Good and Beautiful God. And we've learned from one another about how to care for people who are in hard places. God is, if you've not been able to engage those things, I'd encourage you, the classes that go on here on Sunday mornings, to take part in that. God has grown us in grace as we've seen His faithfulness in the sacraments. Every Sunday, of course, coming to the Lord's Supper. I remember, I think it was one of the Wangia kids who, upon taking the communicants class, is that right? Was it you that said this? Now you get to take communion every Sunday for the rest of your life. Yeah, part of God's family together. We've seen that in baptism. Here we've got a picture, I think, of Daniel and April Murphy with their son Hesediah, whose very name means the covenant love of God, getting a sign of that covenant love. And we've got a picture here of Lucky Girl, I think, who had just been baptized on Sunday morning. God's grace washing away our sins, uniting us to Himself, uniting us to one another. Remember these things, people. It's a sign of His goodness to us. God's grown us in different events and activities through the women's ministry and the men's ministry. A great picture here of a team that leads the women's ministry and led a women's ministry retreat. Thank God for you, ladies, and how you disciple one another and teach one another as we seek to grow in God's grace. The guys as well have had different activities. One activity was helping to move the Hubbards into their house, so we got a picture of that here on that day. Community groups, as you gather together, it's a great time at the beginning of the year to plug into a community group if you haven't. But this is one of the ways that we walk together and grow in grace. I want to just say in conclusion and looking back, God has been good. This passage in Revelation, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever, amen. The Lord is on the throne, and we are His people. You see pictures like this, and sometimes I think we can even take the small things for granted, right? We are in a city, right, that is so incredibly divided, rich and poor, different races. And then you look at a picture like our women's ministry leadership team. You see young and old, black and white together. Just the fact that we've got a community where people are serving and leading each other like that is an evidence of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you've done in the past year. We say to you, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving to you forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I'm not done yet. I want to look ahead a little bit. Everybody's like, do I need to go get the kids? It's too early. Huh? I know. Roy's like, is it communion time? Huh? Yeah. Y'all, you can pray in the middle of the sermon, right? Huh? I gotta mess you guys more often. Yeah, and you think you're not liturgical. Huh? All right. We're gonna look ahead just for a little while here in the rest of our time this morning. Looking back and looking ahead. God is on the throne and we are His people. Chosen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. One of the most important things for you and for me is to go back to this question again and again. Who am I? Who are we? And where are we going? You will answer this question all the time. Whether you think about it or not, the way you live your life is an answer to this question, who am I? You can live as somebody who's defined fundamentally by receiving the affirmation of other people, by having a great job, by having a perfect GPA in school, by having a certain amount of money. Who am I? You can answer that question by looking to your ethnic identity, by your national identity, answering the question along those lines. God has answered the question for you. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, chosen by God, a people belonging to God, that you may declare His praises, that you may live such good lives that those who see your good works would glorify God. That's who we are, church. Chosen by God. Kings and priests, the royal priesthood. You think about the kings? They are those who have authority. We are ambassadors of the king, representing the king in this place. But we're also priests. We cry out. We pray for our city. We intercede. We weep on behalf of the brokenness in the city. We declare the goodness of God. We are prophets in this city, in this place, declaring the goodness of God and calling people to repent, to turn, to follow Him, to be welcomed into His family. We're a holy nation together, bound together, called out of darkness to light. This passage in 1 Peter says, once we were not His people, but now we are His people. I want to just take us from 1 Peter, and what was certainly in 1 Peter's mind in this passage is an Old Testament book called Hosea. In the very beginning of this book, God calls Hosea, a prophet in the Old Testament, to marry a wife who was unfaithful, who was guilty of adultery. And the reason is it's a picture of God's relationship with Israel, that He had committed Himself to Israel, but they were unfaithful. They had gone after other gods. They had walked away from Him. They had disobeyed Him. And the Lord said to one of the children of Hosea, He said, call His name not My people, for you are not My people and I am not your God. Because they had walked away from God. And yet we hear this. The number of children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not My people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. Hosea goes on to say later, in that day, declares the Lord, you will call Me My husband. I will betroth you to Me forever. I will betroth you to Me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to Me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. The amazing message of 1 Peter and the message of Hosea that is to define you this year, church, that is to define you individually, but also to define us corporately, is that we have not followed Jesus perfectly in our lives as a church, as a community. We have failed to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We have failed at times to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We have made too much of other gods in our lives. We have made too little of the one true God in our lives. And yet, God says to those who are not my people, you are my people. I will betroth you to me forever. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We are chosen by God, by His grace alone, not because of anything that we have done. We are God's chosen people. Dearly loved, beloved. I want to just take a few minutes and unpack what I think this could mean for us as a church to live in light of how God defines us in 1 Peter. What's clear in this passage is that we are people who have a relationship with God. We're chosen by Him. We're people who are called together, a holy nation. We are in relationship with one another. And what's also clear in this passage is that we live as witnesses for Christ in the world. You see those three categories in this passage in 1 Peter? One way to summarize this, and it's not original to me, lots of people have said this, is that the church is a community that includes upreach and inreach and outreach. Upreach, we're walking with God. Inreach, we're walking together. We open our arms and receive one another, walk together, and outreach, declaring the goodness of God in words and in deeds in this city. You see that in 1 Peter. You see that in the life of Jesus. You see that all throughout the New Testament. Upreach. Say with me, I want to walk with God. That's what God has for you in this next year as His chosen people. Look to the person next to you. In reach. Say to them, I want to walk with you. Isn't that good? You're not alone. Amen? You got somebody walking with you, chosen together as God's people. Now say this, I want to witness for Jesus in this world. I want to witness for Jesus in this world. Upreach, in reach, outreach. What does God have for us this next year? I don't know exactly. He always surprises us a little bit, doesn't He? Praise God. But I want to unpack a few things in these areas. Walking with God. We want to continue to walk with God as His chosen people, His dearly loved people. We want to walk with God, our good shepherd. We want to make much of God. What did the nations do when they gathered around the throne? They fell on their faces. Church, I hope we have some time this next year to fall on our faces before God. We fear so many things. We're called to fear one, and that is God. To make much of Him. To magnify Him. We want to look at God's Word together this next year and pray. I want to urge you to recommit yourselves to practices that will help you to walk with God. Every relationship, you know, this takes effort, right? If you think that your relationship with God is the one exception, honestly, you're fooling yourself. Walk with God. Invest time and energy in your relationship with Him. We're going to spend time later on this year in the Word of God going through the Ten Commandments together. What does it mean to fear God? Well, it means to magnify His name, to walk in obedience with Him. Do you ever wonder what the will of God is for your life? Huh? Yes? I don't know if that was translation or that was a yes. But you all do. Donna does. God spelled it out for us. He's given us His Word. Don't have any other gods before Him. Don't make any idols. Rest in Him in the Sabbath. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. We're going to unpack that as we walk together. You know, the church throughout history has looked a lot of times to two aspects of the Word of God, especially to grow in their relationship with God. One is the Lord's Prayer. We've preached on that before. We've studied it. The other is the Ten Commandments. The whole history of our church, we've never looked at that. So we're going to take 10, 12 weeks going through the Ten Commandments and seeing it's all by God's grace. These are the words of God to those that he had delivered from Egypt, just like he has delivered you. But then he invites us to live according to the goodness of his law. We're also, as we've been doing, going to continue to go through this New City Catechism. And my hope is that God uses this to shape us and to mold us in our outreach, in our relationship with God. I hope you've seen that already, even this morning. God is the creator and sustainer of everyone and everything. As we meditate on that, it helps us to walk with God. But we're also going to walk with God together. Upreach and inreach. We're going to grow in our relationships with one another in unity together. Every language, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. You know, most people, when they see that passage in Revelation, they think of outreach. And certainly that's a picture of it, right? That we are called, as Jesus says, go to the nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. But what do we see at the end of the day? Where are the nations? They're together in one unified assembly. And we want to celebrate what God has done in our church as he's brought the nations together. And we want to grow to love one another more and more. One of the things I love about this passage in 1 Peter, and in your bulletin, I think it's translated, dear friends, in verse 11. In another version, it says, beloved. Beloved. Who are you? You're God's beloved children. But one thing you got to realize is in the original language, that's plural. We are God's beloved children together. We're walking together in relationship with one another as the church. You all know this. We are not a giant church. Some of you come from really big churches. We're not a huge church. Some of you come from really tiny churches. We're not a little church. But one of the great things we have, we don't have a program for every ministry, and we won't, but we have each other. One of the greatest resources that God has given you as you seek to walk with him is the people that are surrounding you right now. I hope you recognize that. I hope you value it, and I hope you take advantage of it in the coming year. That's inreach. That's community. That's walking together as God's family. Open your hearts, your home, your time, your lives, the mess of your lives, to engage the mess of one another's lives as God grows us. We say that we're called to disciple the nations in the reconciling gospel of the kingdom. And I think you know this, but one of the main ways discipleship happens is in relationship, right? Happened with Jesus and the 12 that way. It happened also in the New Testament with Paul and with Timothy. You know that picture? Paul was an older man. Timothy was a son in the faith. Part of Paul's commitment was to spend himself and invest himself on Timothy. Part of Timothy's role was to learn from Paul and then Timothy to train up others. Here's a question I'd love for everyone to think about today and in this next year. Who's your Paul? Who is your Paul? If you're trying to walk with God, you say you're trying to walk with God, and there's not somebody who's farther down the road that you are seeking out to learn from, to model your life after, it's going to limit your growth. And we've got a great community right here. Look around. But also ask this question. Who's your Timothy? Who's your Timothy? If God has taught you things through his word over time and relationship with him, let me tell you, it's not just for you. It's for you to spend it, invest it on somebody else. That's how we walk together and care for one another in discipleship. Upreach, inreach, and outreach. Paul says we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we might proclaim the excellencies of him who called us. And at the end, of course, to live such good lives that they see our good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So part of what we're going to keep doing is what we've been doing. Seeking to serve this city through things like the tutoring program and the workday ministry, through our partnerships with Macklin and Rose and with Calm and Loon and with Pastor Cargan and with others around the world. But also one thing I want us to seek God for in the next year, and that is to grow in our courage, in our skill, in our willingness to proclaim the excellencies of God with our mouths. As I've thought about it over the last year, I don't think as a church corporately, and I'll just say to you, I don't think we're where God wants us to be in this gift of evangelism. We think about the neighborhood right here. Think about the people who live on your block. When was the last time you shared the gospel, the hope that you have, with somebody that doesn't know Jesus? One of my burdens and my hopes is that we grow in this in the next year. Related to that, after we're done with the Ten Commandments, on our Sunday morning sermon time, we're going to be preaching through the book of Acts. Because what we see there is the power of the Holy Spirit that's given to the church that we would be witnesses for Jesus. I want us to grow in this area as a church. It's one of the reasons God has us here, is to proclaim his excellencies. Upreach. God, we want to walk with you. Inreach. We're going to walk together, God's beloved children. Outreach. Declaring the goodness of God. You know, one of the tendencies, and you've probably thought of these categories before, is to emphasize one or the other, right? And some of you, stage of life that you're at, or your personality, or different experiences you've had, you want to focus on your walk with God. Amen. Or you want to come together and you want to just say, we're the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. Amen. Or you're somebody who's in a place where, let's go. Let's reach out. Let's do these things. I want to encourage us to not let go of any one of the three. All right? Because they're all essential for us to be the people of God in 2016. And they actually all work together. Right? As we grow in our relationship with God in awe and worship of him, we're going to love one another better. As we seek to love one another, y'all are going to find out that you're surrounded by a bunch of messed up sinners. And you're going to have to go back to the grace of God and grow in your relationship with God. And as you seek to love this city, you're going to find out you can't do it alone. We need each other. Upreach, inreach, and outreach. I want to just encourage us. There's a hymn that I used to sing growing up. And it was kind of the end of the year and the beginning of the year is what we would sing. Some of you might know it. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. We give thanks for the last year. We look ahead. As we often say, the future is as bright as the promises of God, because God is there. He's present with us and he's faithful. Amen. Amen. I want to do this. I want to take just a few minutes, gather together with somebody who's right near you, 2-3 people at the most, pray for one another and for our church. Take a few minutes, give thanks to God, and pray in these areas, upreach, inreach, and outreach, that God would lead us into the year ahead. We'll close in just a minute. Pastor Roy will lead us in the Lord's Supper, and we'll conclude our time together. Let's make a small group, just a few people, and pray together. There's one on the table. Yeah. Amen. God, you are a good God. You are a great God. You can do anything but fail. Lord, we thank you that we've seen, we can testify to your goodness to us as a church in the past year. Lord, how you've provided for us, you've grown us, you've blessed us to be part of your work here in the city and among the nations. And Lord, we just lay this next year before you. Lord, we thank you that we are your people by grace through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we belong to you and to one another. Help us, Lord, to grow in our walk with you. Help us to grow in our love for one another. Help us to grow in caring for each other so that the world looks at us and says, behold how they love one another. And help us also to shine as a light brightly here in South City, in the city of St. Louis. Help us, Lord, to be salt and light in this city, in this place. To live good lives, to do good deeds, to proclaim the hope that we have, because you've even saved us. Lord, we commit this year to you. Thank you that you are with us. Take our lives, Lord, use them. We belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.